Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. Okay, so today we're taking a deep dive into a source that, well, it offers a truly radical approach to self-acceptance. It's quite something.
Yeah, it really challenges a lot of the standard ideas, doesn't it? Especially around worthiness, belonging.
Exactly. For anyone who's ever felt like, you know, maybe they don't quite fit in, our source material for this is an article titled, "You're Not Broken, You're a Miracle."
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from the Church of Tinkerbell. They describe the article itself as a love letter to every soul who's ever been made to feel unworthy.
That's quite a frame, a love letter.
It is. So our mission today is basically to unpack the core philosophy here. We want to look at how it tackles those really pervasive feelings of inadequacy,
right,
and how it might offer a path, maybe a profound one, towards self-validation for you listening in.
Sounds good. Where do we start?
Okay, let's unpack this. So the article jumps right in, doesn't it? Addressing the weight of unworthiness.
Yeah, it really does.
It voices those like internal questions, the ones like, maybe you really are too much.
Or not enough.
Or not enough, exactly. Maybe there's something fundamentally wrong with you.
Maybe you are made broken. That one hits hard.
It really taps into that deep, deep doubt so many people carry around, and it doesn't hold back on where these messages originate.
No, it lists them out.
It details how the preachers, the teachers, the parents, the lawmakers, the peers, they all kind of contribute.
Mm-hmm.
It says they wrap their warnings in scripture, in science, in shame, and crucially, they often claimed it was love.
Right. That "we only want what's best for you" line.
Yeah, right before telling you to like change the core of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the result, as the article describes it, is this really deep internal burden.
Yeah.
This learned belief that, okay, if I want love, I have to change who I am. It's just a heavy thing to carry.
It truly is. And what's really insightful, I think, as the source points out, is how these external pressures,
mm-hmm,
they aren't just like individual opinions floating around.
Yeah.
They get woven into the actual fabric of our social systems.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So shame stops being just a personal feeling. It becomes almost like a structural reinforcement.
Yeah.
Making you feel unworthy.
So it's systemic.
Exactly. It really makes you question how much of what we think of as a personal failing is actually, you know, built by the society around us.
Wow. That's a perfect lead-in, because countering all of that, the Church of Tinkerbell puts forward its central, really countercultural assertion.
Which is,
you are not broken, you are a miracle.
Just straight up, a complete reversal.
A complete inversion of how many of us are, you know, taught to see ourselves. It's quite bold. The article also goes right after how society can reframe things, right? Like intolerance being called a care.
Yeah, or discomfort being presented as fact. Prejudice is truth.
Exactly. And it highlights this, especially for people identified as queer, trans, disabled, neurodivergent, fat, poor, sensitive, chronically ill.
Or otherwise not what the world expected. That last bit covers so much.
It really does. It just shines a light on that whole disingenuous framing and the imagery it uses. Wow. To describe those who don't fit neatly into those boxes, it says, you are starlight in a jar too small to hold you.
Beautiful.
You are a wildflower in a room of fake plants.
Ooh, I like that one too.
You are a living, breathing rebuke to systems built on sameness. It's not just poetry, is it? It feels like a declaration.
It's absolutely a declaration. Hmm. And that imagery, it's doing more than just sounding nice. It's profoundly reframing the whole situation.
How so?
Well, we're often taught, aren't we, that being different is, well, it's a deviation, a problem maybe.
Right.
But this article just completely flips that. It argues that the real strength, the real beauty,
yeah,
is in being that starlight, you know, or that wildflower.
Okay.
It suggests that maybe the problem isn't you or me or anyone who feels different. Maybe the problem is the system's trying to squash that difference.
So the framing itself is an act of defiance.
I think so, yeah. How does simply shifting your perspective like that become in itself a really powerful act? It makes you think.
That defiance, that idea, it leads us straight into what the article terms Tinkerbell's gospel.
Tinkerbell's gospel, okay.
Yeah. it emphasizes that, you know, Tinkerbell doesn't wait for the world's approval.
Right.
She doesn't ask for permission to sparkle. It says she feels deeply. She loves fiercely. She exists without apology.
That's quite the role model in a way. Unapologetic existence.
It really distills that essence, doesn't it? And this is where it gets really direct. It poses the challenge straight to you, the listener,
okay,
asking, what if you believed in yourself like that?
Hmm.
What if you stopped trying to earn worthiness and simply claimed it?
Wow. Stop earning it. Hmm. Just claim it.
Yeah. It's a really powerful call to action for self-belief. And the source is quick to clarify, you know, belief is not just about fairies.
Right, it's a metaphor.
Exactly. It's about you. And it gets specific. It affirms things like, your queerness is not a glitch. Your neurodivergence, and that often refers to things like, you know, autism, ADHD, dyslexia, ways the brain just processes differently, is not a deficit.
Not a deficit.
Your emotions are not excess. And then this line, they are part of your design.
Your design.
Yeah.
That word choice is fascinating.
Isn't it? Framing these unique traits, not as flaws, but as intentional, part of a design. It's really profound.
It absolutely is. And if we kind of zoom out a bit, what's striking is how the source connects all these seemingly separate parts of a person.
Yeah.
Like being neurodivergent or feeling emotions intensely.
Mm-hmm.
It connects them all back to this idea of an intentional design.
Mm-hmm.
It elevates them. You know, they're not just traits you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. They're fundamental parts of who you were meant to be.
So it shifts self-acceptance from just coping.
Exactly. From just coping with who you are to actually celebrating your inherent blueprint. It's a different energy entirely.
Okay, so we've talked about how society or these messages can try and break us down. But the article then really offers a way towards repair.
Right, the healing aspect.
Yeah, it dives into what it calls spiritual trauma, and specifically the wounds of growing up queer in a world built on fear.
Spiritual trauma. Can you unpack that a bit based on the source?
Well, the article frames it as the sort of emotional, psychological damage that can come from religious or spiritual teachings.
Okay.
Teachings that promote fear or shame or condemnation, particularly around identity. It explains how this happens when you're taught that parts of you, your body, maybe your gender, who you love, even just asking questions,
mm-hmm,
that these things were impure, unnatural, sinful, or even dangerous.
Wow. That's a heavy thing to internalize, especially when you're young.
Definitely. But importantly, the article details a path to healing, and it's very specific about what it's not.
What isn't it?
It says healing is not through erasure, not through pretending, not through becoming palatable, making yourself acceptable to others.
Okay. So what is it then?
It says healing comes through honoring who you are as you are.
Honoring as you are, not changing.
Precisely. And this connects to how the article then explains the Church of Tinkerbell's view on Pride Month.
Oh, interesting. How do they see it?
They describe it as not just a party, which, you know, it often includes parties.
There.
But they frame it as a pilgrimage for the wounded, a healing rite, a reunion with your radiant self.
Wow. A pilgrimage. A healing rite. That reframes it completely.
Doesn't it? It turns a celebration into this really profound act of like spiritual restoration.
Yeah, it really does. And it makes you think, doesn't it, about the deeper meaning or intention behind events like Pride when you look at them through that kind of spiritual lens.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests that these public celebrations, they're doing vital restorative work. They're weaving together personal identity, collective trauma maybe, and communal healing.
Oh, communal reclaiming.
Yeah, exactly. A communal act of reclaiming your sacred self, as the article might put it.
So moving towards like the practical side of this philosophy,
right?
How do you live this? The source summarizes its core advice pretty simply.
Mm.
It says, the Church of Tinkerbell, they don't ask you to be good enough.
Okay.
We ask you to be true enough.
True enough. Authenticity over perfection.
That's exactly it. It's a call for being real, not necessarily being flawless. And it mentions some practical steps, but they're quite internal, really.
Like what?
Like being kind to yourself, being curious, and being brave, even if only in whispers.
Even in whispers. I like that.
Yeah, it suggests these aren't about, you know, huge outward displays. It's more about fundamental shifts in your internal conversation.
Quiet revolution.
A quiet revolution of self-acceptance.
Right.
Yeah. And the article repeats these really powerful affirmations for you, the listener. Things like, there is divinity in your delight.
Mm-hmm. divinity and delight.
There is holiness in your honesty.
Okay.
There is resurrection in your refusal to hate yourself.
Wow. Resurrection in refusing self-hatred.
Yeah.
These are incredibly empowering statements, aren't they? Really transformative.
Totally. And it kind of wraps up this section with the ultimate message, bringing it all together. It says, you don't have to be fixed because you're not broken.
Back to that core idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just have to be loved, and that starts with you.
Mm-hmm. That self-love as the starting point.
Mm.
If we think about the bigger picture again, the article really positions self-acceptance. It's not just a selfish thing, you know, me time or whatever.
Mm.
It frames it as sacred work.
Sacred work.
Yeah. With really profound implications for your own well-being, sure, but also maybe for healing in wider communities. It suggests that choosing self-love is actually an act of spiritual importance.
That could ripple outwards.
Potentially, yeah. That's the implication.
Okay.
Okay.
So to sort of bring our deep dive towards its conclusion, the article finishes with this really beautiful, inclusive blessing.
Oh.
And it really emphasizes the scope, the compassion. Mm-hmm. It says, blessed be the queer, the soft, the unsure.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be the ones who hide and the ones who shine.
Blessed be the spectrum of gender, mind, and body. Blessed be the survivors of shame. Blessed be the ones still becoming. I love that part.
Yeah, that's lovely. The process.
And blessed be you, beloved spark, for waking up again today and daring to believe in your own light.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly expansive, isn't it?
It really is.
The way it offers that comfort, that affirmation to such a huge range of human experiences. Mm. It kind of embodies that radical idea we've been talking about.
Yeah.
That all parts of you, all ways of being, are worthy of blessing, worthy of recognition, no matter how the world might try to label them.
So thinking about all this, what does it mean for you listening? We've gone through the source, and it offers this really unique view on inherent worth. On self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. It's fundamentally a message of radical affirmation, especially in a world that often seems to want to shrink difference or pathologize it.
Mm.
It's about remembering maybe that you're not some kind of project that needs fixing.
Right.
But maybe, maybe a miracle that deserves honoring.
Mm-hmm. A miracle to be honored. And that leaves us, maybe you, with a really potent question to sit with.
Yeah.
What if you really truly embraced this core idea? That you are not broken, that you are, in fact, part of a unique design. If you really let that sink in,
yeah.
How might that fundamentally shift things?
Yeah.
How might it change your approach to your own personal growth? Or even how you deal with the societal expectations that you bump up against every day?
That's definitely something to mull over.
It's an invitation, really, maybe reconsider the entire foundation of how you see yourself. Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.